right, welcome back to BioJack Radio. This is our second episode covering autophagy with Josh Witten, and I'm your host, Kiefer. Hopefully everybody knows that by now who's listening, but maybe not. And we have Naomi Most.
Hi there. So you guys again went off and had a really cool conversation while I was manipulating knobs and buttons. So what were you guys talking about?
It may be beyond the scope of this radio
podcast. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely, if the goal is to talk about stuff that we're interested in, maybe not necessarily just what was off air.
This is kind of the end of the show where you guys get to talk about whatever the hell you want.
Okay.
Wait, how about that?
What was it we were ranting, what I almost started to rant about before we got into the MCT emulsion? Because that seemed like a good thread that wasn't...
You were talking about neuroplasticity in some for some
before
reason.
That one.
Before yeah, that one.
It was
oh.
Before that. I said I would stop
Can't
and say it on air.
Maybe it'll come.
Oh, yeah. Part of it was the MCT oil.
Yeah.
You're sitting here making fun of Josh Witten with his little pad of, you know, little writing things down. We can't even remember what you just said.
I know. This is...
We've got to get you a pencil or pen and show you.
Totally my fault.
The tables have turned.
Man, on my own show, this is not good. Just remember, Josh, I think I've got about 50 pounds of muscle on you.
That's why I'm sitting close to the door.
So the topic we were last on was, what does it take to produce a large amount of ketones, and what happens to those, and is autophagy, particularly in neuron cells, mediated solely by ketone buildup? And I think that I see a little bit of evidence that it's possible, and Josh doesn't necessarily agree with me on that. And what we were talking about was there's actually a way to produce high ketone production while still eating a lot of carbs.
Yeah, I didn't disagree with the specific possibility of what's happening with autophagy there. I was saying that for the majority of people, the benefits you get by doing legitimately low carb and then sure adding MCT on top of that are just many. So in other words, it's kind of reductionist again to say that the generation of ketones is the name of the game, right?
What do you mean when you say legitimately low carb?
I mean versus just MCT, you know, tricking out MCT, you know, ketone production.
I just
MCTs.
Mean like numerically.
Oh, for me, yeah, sure, great point. 35 grams, not including fiber. That's about where I hover on a daily basis.
It's funny, yeah. In carb night, I'd say 30 grams or less.
There you go. Yeah. And honestly, all I can think about is lunch right now. But you know, with being low carb, you're decreasing your exposure to insulin. You're decreasing your exposure to sugar in general. So that whole glycation thing. So I think MCTs are great to have as part of your diet. But outside of that epileptic treatment you were talking about, mm-hmm. so that maybe kids don't have to skip the ice cream party, I don't know why we would like want to go for high carb consumption in general and hope and pray that loads of MCT are going to get us ketones, are going to do us everything that the low carb was supposed to be doing.
Right. Yeah. Generally, I agree with that. So I was bringing it more in context of just autophagy because there's so many reasons not to eat carbs because they counter-regulate so many metabolic hormones and interact in not fun ways with other catabolic hormones. The curiosity to me is if the most important aspects of autophagy, and I'm making a leap here because I don't know how important the macro auto or micro autophagy are, if one of the most important benefits is life extension and neural plasticity, which is the ability of neurons to regenerate and actually possibly grow new neurons, is that correct? Naomi, are you listening?
I'm trying to catch up on Twitter actually to see what's been posted to our attention.
Anyway, neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to remold, remodel, and repair itself.
That is differentiated correct. From neurogenesis.
Okay.
So neurogenesis can be encouraged in different ways than neuroplasticity.
Okay. So one of the major benefits, especially I would think in the life extension community, would be that neuroplasticity. And my conjecture was maybe it's just ketone buildup that regulates that. Mm. And some evidence of that is that fast, and this is what I'm using for evidence, that both fasting and a high-fat diet both trigger autophagy to the same extent. And as soon as you introduce sugar, it screws it all up. And they used to use, and I believe they still do, ketogenic diets to treat juvenile epilepsy that's intractable. No medications work. And it turns out if you take all carbs out of their diet, they're fine. And there's a diet called the MCT emulsion diet where you add a lot of MCT to every meal, and it actually produces a lot of ketone production, and that also treats epilepsy. So my diving off point is, does neuroplasticity have anything to do with epilepsy? And if it does, then maybe just being low fat most of the time gives you most of the benefit of autophagy.
Low fat?
Sorry, low carb, yeah. Most of the time.
Good catch.
Thanks. Gives you most of the benefit of autophagy.
My understanding up to this point had been that it was probably because something like, I don't know, 80% of the brain was switching over to actually use ketones as fuel, mm-hmm. instead of glucose. So it seemed more like a fuel source thing than a neuroplasticity thing, but I don't know.
It could be very well, yeah. I don't know. It was just my mental wanderings for the morning.
I think we're all starting to wander. I'm getting hungry as well. I'm starting to think about lunch.
I am oddly enough not hungry. Although the guy at the coffee shop down the street told me I was going to kill myself because I added heavy whipping cream to my coffee.
What?
Yeah, he told me I was going to have a heart attack. No, right down the street.
Oh, it's Progressive.
Yeah, Progressive.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
I once went to a coffee shop and said, okay, I'm going to come clean. I actually just want the cream. So whatever you got to charge me, you know.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, at Starbucks, they'll just give you a cup of cream and not charge you.
So there's a fun topic. Let's talk about food, you know, if we can't eat any right now.
Oh, my God.
So I did an experiment a few days ago, and I hadn't been a heavy whipping cream kind of person before. Like, it just seemed too much like dairy, which I mostly don't do. Mm-hmm. And but then looking for, you know, protein-free foods to help the protein restriction days, I saw that there was surprisingly little protein in heavy whipping cream. But then I realized that the serving sizes are ridiculously small because they don't expect anybody to tip back the right. quart of whipping cream and just start glugging. So it's actually something like a gram of protein per quarter cup or half cup or something like that. And okay. The problem is that it's just like 2 tablespoons are the measurement on the package. But I was so jazzed that I was just tipping back, literally, I was going through a quart of heavy whipping cream about every 30 hours, and bit of indigestion, to be honest, because I guess there's a bit more casein in it than butter, for example, quite a bit more.
I struggle with that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I really have to, I mean, I had this problem for years and years and years, and it was only after being pregnant, and I don't know, I think my digestive system healed a little bit, but I can tolerate a little bit more milk these days. But yeah, I still get really messed up digestion if I get any more than, like, I don't know, I'd say 5 grams of casein or something like that.
So what I then thought was, if there's anybody out there though, who's trying to go paleo or kick dairy, man, it's a step in the right direction and fun to just swap out your 4% milk or whatever, 2% milk in the fridge for heavy whipping cream. I mean, just what a cool on ramp to going dairy free, right? To go all in on heavy whipping cream. Like, that is an example of a dietary swap that you are not going to be saying, but I've given up so much.
Right. Yeah.
Or perhaps make ice cream out of it. You know, use heavy cream and some eggs and things like that. Like, yes. Dave Asprey has a good recipe on his website. He calls it the get some ice cream.
That's right.
Recipe.
Get some.
He classifies it as an aphrodisiac.
Yeah. Oh, really? that's interesting.
Yeah, I you know, who knows whether it's going to have aphrodisiac properties, but.
But that's just an N equals one kind of thing, or maybe N equals two, or N equals three. Actually, yeah. I don't know, Dave. Are you? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Joke.
The dairy thing interests me just because part of the diet plan that I have for competitors after they get off stage, so I usually give them a month of diet to help readjust their metabolism and everything. They have a really hard time with dairy coming off the stage. Have to slowly bring dairy back in because if any, it seems like any significant amount, it just wrecks their intestinal tract for the next 24 hours.
Well, I think it's the body stopped producing the enzymes to deal with it, right? I mean, if anybody seems to kick dairy for a whole month completely, you're going to, I think, anybody's going to burp and little and rub their tummy a little.
Yeah. Usually they kick dairy for about 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we're definitely coming up to the end of our time. So, let's see. So Josh, where can someone find the latest version of your autophagic emphasis diet?
Sure. So
the Witten protocol, the Witten protocol.
There you go. They Witten, can just go to joshwitten.com, JOSHWHITON. And, I may actually, there's kind of such a demand for this health diet, you know, intersection between protocol and I didn't mean the health diet. I meant the information on health and the diet in specific. And right now it's mixed with all my philosophical musings and psychology and stuff like that. So I may be splitting that out. But in the meantime, go to joshwitten.com. And I have links there to the current Witten protocol article, links to the autophagy write-up I did that tries to synthesize a lot of this stuff so you don't have to. And then I have links there to some of the specific sources if you want to drill down.
Awesome. We'll definitely provide a link on Dangerously Hardcore so you can find that more easily.
And yeah, let us know when you get the new website up.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know you had a new website in the works.
No, you're going to, you know, put up something specifically like about your
health. I may cut out all the health and fitness stuff and put it in its own site.
You can have your own section of dangerouslyhealthy.com.
That's, we
have that set up. So it's become apparent to me that a lot of people want to use a lot of the methods that I have for health, just general health. Mm. And I consider it dangerously healthy because if you talk to any experts, quote unquote, out there, like dietitians or doctors, the things I say are dangerous. But yet, for some reason, the things I say could cure diabetes or strip all the body fat off of you or, you know, make you healthy in any number of ways. But yet, their doctors tell them it's dangerous. So I thought a great website to be a brother site to Dangerously Hardcore would be Dangerously Healthy. And it would be awesome if you'd like to contribute articles to that or even if you want your own section of
that.
That's
very generous. And I think we all look forward to the day where we have a harder and harder time explaining why Dangerously Healthy makes sense. But in the meantime, I completely I experience that every day.
Yeah, it's amazing. Instead of
obese people looking at you and saying, you're killing yourself with fat, right? And it's just like, okay. Right.
Yeah, the guy at the coffee shop had
thanks for your opinion.
Big beer belly, and he's like, oh, you're going to give yourself a heart attack with that heavy whipping cream. Uh-huh. I'm like, let's look around your shop just for a second. Mm. Do you think I'm concerned about my heavy whipping cream consumption?
And that's why it is our duty to go out in public looking pretty good and just, you know, more bacon, please, and so on.
Exactly.
So, somebody's got to do it.
Can you make that latte with full cream, please?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a shame that the coffee shop here closed down because it was the bacon maple latte. Is that?
I've had one.
Yes.
I never did have one.
Yeah. They actually had pure rendered bacon fat in this cafe. I can't believe they closed it. We walked in today and it was like kind of like the ghost shop.
Which is a good reminder though.
Sad.
Sorry. I wish the maple hadn't been in there because it was very sugary.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh.
I eliminated it last time I got one here and great. I just put a couple drops of stevia in it. It was good.
But next time we're at home, maybe the three of us should commit when we make coffee and bacon and eggs that we just drizzle that grease in and stir it in ourselves. I mean, why? We don't need a special technician to do this.
This is true.
We could do it. All right.
True. All right, cool. Well, on that note, I'm gonna pull out some music. That's the end of our show.
It's the end of BioJack Radio. Second episode, everybody. I appreciate you tuning in.
Today was April 3rd, 2012.
Was it?
It okay. is.
All right, I'm going to go with that because I rarely know what day of the week it is very often. So, all right.
You guys can tune in next week, pcrcollective.org, where you can listen live from 10 a.m. every Tuesday. We're here at BioJacked Radio. And you can submit questions on the DH forums. If you go to dangerouslyhardcore.com/forum, F-O-R-M, we're going to have an individual episode thread for each one, for each episode. So you can submit questions on that thread. So next week will be, who do we have next week?
Max Aida. Okay. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. He is a record-holding Olympic lifter.
Is he here in the studio next week?
Yes, he will
oh,
be.